this is the Design and Marketing Podcast with Rob Cubbon. I hope you're very well. Before I introduce you to this week's interviewee, I just have one announcement to make, and it is if you go to robcubbon.com/iTunes, that will take you directly to the link for the Design and Marketing Podcast on iTunes, where you can then decide to subscribe via iTunes and or leave us a review or rating, and we would love that, of course. So thank you very much for that. But now let's go straight to our interviewee, who this week is John Phillips. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of John Phillips because he's a mainstay blogger in the design niche, and I've known him for years and years, and I thought I knew everything about him, but of course, after speaking to him for 30, 40 minutes, I realised I knew very little about him. He is responsible for 4 sites, and I bet you know of 1 or 2 or maybe all of these. Freelance Folder, Design News, Spire Studios, and Media Loot. So if you're a web designer or a graphic designer, I reckon you would have heard of one of those. And it is amazing that John has managed to start, build, grow, and actually sell all 4 of those sites. He's from Montreal, which makes him a French speaker, and English is only his second language, although if you listen to the interview, you probably wouldn't realise that. It makes what he's done incredibly impressive. But that's not all. John has a lot of side projects. There's side projects he's done he didn't even mention in the interview, but there are others as well that he did mention in the interview. Another interesting thing about John is that he has actually a job at the moment, and he is one of only 20 employees for buysellads.com. And I'm sure you've probably heard of buysellads.com. It's one of the most popular ad networks on the internet today. So, lots to talk about. And I've got to thank John very much as well, because he didn't actually want to do the interview, to be honest with you. And he asked to do a text interview. And I said, no, John, I want to speak to you on Skype. Please speak to me, John. And he did. He's an absolute trooper. It was lovely to speak to him after all this time of communicating with him online. So let's go straight into it. And this is Montreal's favourite heavy metal guitarist, John Phillips. Let's start at the very good beginning. It's a very good place to start. So what made you begin to... What turned you into a designer in the first place?
Well, I've always been interested in creative things. I'm a musician. I've always liked photography. So before I started freelancing and building websites and everything, I was working in sales at an internet company here in Montreal. And, you know, call center, marketing wasn't really my thing. So I just had a couple clients on the side because I was getting interested in, you know, just doing a logo here and there and some website designs. I just learned CSS, HTML, JavaScript and stuff. And then once the revenue from the freelancing stuff was enough, I just went, well, why not just quit my day job and just do that? But it was just like a natural thing. I just went, you know, I'm playing music. It's a creative thing. I like designing. I like building stuff from scratch too. So it was just a natural thing.
Okay, so when was that? What year was that when you finished at the call center?
Probably 2005. But I started designing for some friends and family in, I guess, 2003.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
So it's not something you could do straight away, isn't it? You've got to wait for the skills to get along and build up the clients before you could make the big jump. And what webs did you have? Spire Studios at that time?
I didn't, because when I started, I was mostly just building sites for just friends and family at first, and then a couple of clients that were referred to me. But I didn't even have a portfolio or anything like that. But I mean, in 2003, 2005, you know, I think YouTube started in 2005 or something like that. So I didn't have a portfolio, but, you know, big deal back then.
It was the Stone Age as far as web design was
exactly
concerned. Yeah.
So, after designing a couple of websites and having a more solid experience and more skills, I figured why not build a portfolio? So I just picked a name, bought a domain name, and at first, Fire Studios was just a single page website, just contact information, just a couple screenshots, and then I added a blog on there, and then I started writing articles, and then I didn't really need the portfolio anymore because Fire Studios were bringing in revenue, and I didn't want it to take on more clients because my plate was pretty full. So I just went all in with the design blog. Yeah. I just switched the whole thing around and just made a design blog and started hiring writers. So.
Oh, right. Okay. So I didn't know that. So that's interesting. You started blogging, and yeah. And you were getting such. I assume you were getting such good page views. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about revenue. What sort of revenue was that in the early days?
At first, it was maybe $500 a month in revenues. I mean, you know, when you write all the content, all the revenues is profit, right? Mm-hmm. So after a while, you know, when you get to $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month, I started that's when I switched the whole website to be just to put the focus on blogging. Mm-hmm. And then since the revenue were kind of there, you know, I figured why not hire people to write. So, well, the revenues took a dive, but, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. the page views went up. Yeah. So yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, no. And what was the, was it from advertising that revenue?
Mostly, yeah. That's when I found out about buy-sell ads.
Oh, right.
They were just getting started, I think, in 2000. I started Spire Studios in 2006, if I remember correctly. And I think buy-sell ads was just in the early stage back then. So I was seeing the advertise here boxes on like PSD Tuts and all the Envato websites because they were like early users. So I figured why not give it a try. So,
all right. So you must have been getting some great page views, but you know the traffic must have been amazing for you to get such. I mean, obviously, buy-sell ads is a great platform, and we're going to come on to them later in the story.
Yep.
That's quite amazing revenue to be starting blogging one day and to be getting enough revenue to be able to hire writers and grow the blog the next. Obviously, it wasn't quite as easy as that. You must have tried very. You must have put. I know you did. You put a lot of effort into the blog posts yourself in the early days, and you continued to write yourself as well. But talking personally, I found revenue really difficult using advertising. I found AdSense to be the most popular. The most effective platform. Don't like their ads. They look ugly. Yeah. I say it's a catch-22. You know, you plaster your site with AdSense ads, and you might make some money, but the site's going to look shit, you know?
Exactly. I never really used AdSense.
Yeah.
You know, once I started using buy-sell ads, I just went, well, here's all my inventory, use it and sell it for me and thank you very much, you know. So I don't have a lot of experience with AdSense apart from, you know, using a buy-sell ads ad and filling it with AdSense when there's nothing sold in there. You know, just like as a backfill, so.
Right.
That's pretty much how I use it.
Well.
I didn't actually start with Spire Studios. I had a couple other sites before that.
Right.
Like Freelance Folder.
Yes.
Design News and... Yeah, that's about it. So I basically just, when I quit the day job, I started Freelance Folder because I was freelancing. So I figured, well, why not write about it? But then after a while, sold the site, started Design News, sold it again, started Spire Studios, and then sold it, and then started Media Loot, and now I'm working at Bysat. So it's like a weird timeline, but...
right. Yeah, well, I'm glad you put that all into perspective for me because I wasn't aware in what order it happened. Freelance Folder, of course. I don't want to get into the wrong order, but a lot of the sites you've started have actually... When you sell them, sometimes the new buyer can get it all wrong, and the site can be a complete disaster, and you think, oh my God, that's sad. But I think in your case, I mean, virtually every case, the website's gone from strength to strength, certainly in terms of freelance photo and spa studios.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of wanted the new owners of all the sites I ever sold to be either people I knew or people that had like the manpower to grow the website and post more content, and you know, people that have like a design sense that are not going to just put a free WordPress theme on there or things like that. So of course, if you sell your website like on Flippa.com or something like that, you never know, you might get more money out of the website, but you never know what's going to happen with it afterwards. And since the way I do it is, I usually, when I start a website, I put my name all over the place. You know, my Twitter account, Facebook, my name is all over the place. So when I sold Freelance Folder and Spire Studios, I wanted to make sure that the new owners would keep it going, keep the design or redesign it. So I just approached people that I knew. Like when I sold Freelance Folder, I sold it to Mason, the guy from Media Loop, and he was actually an advertiser on Freelance Folder at that time. So for him, it was an interesting move because he could keep advertising his own services on that site and not have to pay for that, you know, and make money off the website as well. Yeah, so,
yeah. Okay, so well, quite a lot to go there because I really want to. Yeah. I knew this was going to be complicated because I've known you for a long time and I know you've got you had your fingers in a lot of pies. I didn't quite know how many pies and how it all fitted together. So I'd like to go back if I may to the early days of blogging and working as a web designer and seeing the success of the blogs and you must have learned a hell of a lot about setting up sites and being able to write the blog posts to get the traffic and build the sites up to a stage where you can sell them. And to do that three or four times, I mean, you know, what's your secret, John? I mean,
I'm probably the one who knows the least what he's doing, honestly. for Freelance Folder and Spire Studios, back then, you remember we had like Dig, StumbleUpon.
Yeah.
Well, we still have StumbleUpon. We still have Reddit and all those social media sites. But back then, Dig was the thing, you know. It was the biggest website. You could game the system pretty easily. Fortunately, that's probably why it died down, but you know, it was rather easy to have an article hit the front page, so that would bring, I don't know, maybe 50,000, 100,000 visitors in one day or 2 days. So it was kind of easy to build the traffic, because once you have a front page on Dig, you get backlinks, you get a higher page rank after a while, and you know, it was just, I find, easier. It was easier back then than it is now.
It was easier back then. Even if you take Dig out of the equation, it was easier back then. There was less competition around.
Exactly.
You could write a short, quite a short article, and it would rank on Google as well quite easily, because there just weren't so many pages on the internet, and now there's more competition. I think that's another reason.
As well.
But it's interesting that the social media landscape was completely different. No Twitter, no Facebook. And it was all about Dig and StumbleUpon.
Exactly. StumbleUpon is still there.
Yeah.
But I find it doesn't really bring as much traffic as it used to. But,
yeah, you know. And the traffic it does bring is not very sticky. It's just not, you know, it's almost not worth having.
Exactly.
Yeah. But so you did incredibly well there. You know, you obviously got an idea of what the design community wants to read about, and how to market those articles as well, and then you must have got an idea about how to find other writers to write other articles. How did that go as well?
Well, since I was working on just building content, I guess my name made it on, you know, like on back then people were doing like 100 top designers on Twitter and lists like that. So my name ended up on there. So I just went to see those lists and saw names of other designers that I just got in touch with. And then, hey, interested in writing an article? Have this design blog, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there you go. That was pretty easy, honestly. Finding the writers was pretty easy. And I would just get maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 emails a week from people asking if they can submit a guest article. So there was that too. But finding the writers was pretty easy. It's the whole revenue generating thing behind the scenes that was a little more difficult because, you know, like I said, when you write all the content, all the money goes into your pockets. But when you have writers to pay that charge, I don't know, 100 or 150 per article, you know, your $2,500 can you can go pretty fast, you know. So that was the hardest part, but you know.
But when you build it up, I should imagine, even if you went through a period of not making much money, you'd still build the website up and the number of articles. If you're putting out articles like 4 or 5 a week, which is much more than you'd be able to do working on your own with all the other things you've
Exactly.
got to do, then
Exactly.
you'll reap the benefits a few months down the line, perhaps, and the revenue would start picking up as well. But and it is actually hard work, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Because you've got to, I mean, obviously you're getting good quality articles, but you've still got to find the time to get the articles in place, get them all written, get them, put them in the blog, have a system of remembering who's doing what, and did you have schedules as well, posting schedules?
It was pretty much just like, oh, I have an article. Let's post it because the last one was posted 3 days ago. I have one. Let's do it, you know? And if I don't have one, well, can I write one? Okay, let's do it. You know, it was really like go with the flow. But after a while, like probably the last 6 months, if we were talking about Spyro Studios, last 6 months I was running the site. I had a more stable schedule because I was just getting articles like guest posts and everything like just regularly. So I had maybe three, five, maybe a little more articles in the queue, so I could just schedule them and but when I started that site, that it wasn't like that. It was more like going the flow, but yeah.
Well, I'm certainly still going with the flow myself. I never have anything scheduled, and if I do anything, it's I put it out there. I just don't. I don't have any way, and I just think after 6 or 7 years blogging, I really should have a schedule in place, but I don't. Maybe.
But if it works, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to try later on this year to. I'm actually hoping to up my posting routine as well because I've been posting once a week, and I really think I need to do more. But anyway, this is not an interview about me; it's an interview about you. So let's carry on. So, I mean,
Cool.
were you only a web? How long were you a web designer for? Do you still do web design? I mean, did you just say goodbye to it and concentrate on the sites or?
Well, I still do web design. I mean, as part of the Bicel Ads team, that's my role there. I'm like the designer guy. So, but I mean, I don't really do freelance gigs anymore, because you know, working 40, 50 hours a week with Bicel Ads, I don't really have time for that. And I have my photography blog that I'm running on the site as well, so contrasty.com. So I don't really do freelance work anymore. But I mean, as part of, like I said, the Bicel Ads team. Like, I'm the product designer, you know. We don't really have titles, but let's say I'm the product designer because that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, well, this is good timing now because I think we should bring it up to the present day. You sold Spire Studios in a couple of years ago. When was that?
2009, 2010, I think. Like 2, 3 years ago.
And after that, you had nothing. Did you?
Well, Spire Studios brought me a lot of contacts. I started going like full-time freelance, you know, so I didn't have any blogs to run, articles to edit, or sites to manage. So, but I had a long client list, so I just kept on designing for clients. Right. I actually had a client that I think I designed probably 40 websites for them over like 2 years. It was a real estate company, a real estate consulting company. They're great people. And after that, once I saw that the I wasn't getting enough gigs and enough freelance, because, you know, after a while, since I sold Spire Studios, the contact list was getting a little shorter and shorter and shorter, because, you know, most people will want just a one-off design. They just want one website, personal blog or whatever. So they're not going to hire me every week, every month, or every year. So my client list just got shorter and shorter. So, and I saw a job opening at BuySellAds. So I just applied, and that's it.
Oh, right. You did. Yeah. And, but you knew them there anyway. You knew you had contacts there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So what was your thinking behind selling Spire Studios then? Did you had enough with blogging or?
I would say that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, because, you know, back then, well, 3 years ago, all the design blogs were basically just publishing and reacting the same content all over and over again. 50 amazing full background websites, 50 amazing this, 50 amazing that. So I just didn't feel like I had anything to add to the whole thing. So, and even having writers on board, I mean, topics just, you know, you just have to go back to the same topics all over again. So I just figured I'd sell it and let somebody who has other ideas and in a different direction handle the site and just see what happens, you know. And I kind of used that money to start another project. Right. Because between Spire Studios and the real estate designs and Buy Sell Ads, I started MediaLoot.
Right.
.com. So I kind of needed the funds from the Spire Studios sale to help me start MediaLoot. So, okay.
Well, yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about MediaLoot?
Of course. It's a premium design resources website. Right. It's a membership website. You can basically just go on there, open an account, select the number of credits you want, and then you can download resources, icons, vectors, brushes, and a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. So I launched that website with Mason, the guy who bought Freelance Folder from me. Right. Since we knew each other, you know, for a couple of years, we just decided to start a new project. So when I sold Spire Studios, I had the money to invest into that project. So that's what I did. But then I left MediaLoot and then started working at BuySellAds. So the timeline, there's like things that overlap always, you know. So
It's very, very, very interesting to hear that the way you do that, you seem to get on a project, grow it for a couple of years, and sell it, have money to get on another project, which you can then grow for a few years, and it's an interesting way of doing things. It's something that I feel like I've had one successful website and multiple failures.
Same here.
And I could never jump off I could never jump off Rob Cubbon and sell that, because partly the domain name wouldn't really work with anyone else. But anyway, it's a very interesting way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk about Buy Sell Ads? Because you actually have, I mean, I know it's not as bad as it sounds, but that's like a proper job, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
You're a salaried person at BuySellAds. But it's 2013 and things are a little different now. So you know, it's not like you go to work in some faceless office and sit in an open plan studio in a little, what do you call them?
Cubicle. Yeah. No. I mean, the BuySellAds office is in Boston, and most of the team are remote. Right. So I work from home. Pretty much everybody works from home. So it's definitely not the typical office space thing. No. So.
But BuySellAds is one of the most famous ad networks out there. I don't know. Obviously after AdSense, but I don't know. It's the one I most know about, especially in the design, in the design field, that you'd see ads from buy sell ads more often than any other ad network. Mm-hmm. So what's your job like there? You said you mentioned it about you're a design guy,
yeah.
But you must do other things. It must be interesting. It must have opened you up to another side of the business completely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the cool thing about buy sell ads is it was like again, I just went with the flow. That's just how I do things. And it was easy to go with buy-sell ads because, well, there was a job opening in sales. That's what I started doing at buy-sell ads. I was running the yogurt.com network and AdPacks network. I wasn't actually a designer when I started there. But it was just a normal transition again. You know, I just saw the job opening. I was seeing, you know, the freelance stuff just trickling down and, you know, and it's not only about the money. It's also about working with a team. That's something that I really missed working freelance because you're on your own. You set your own hours. Well, I can still set my own hours and everything, and I'm still on my own. I mean, in my little room, but there's always people on Skype or on Campfire we can chat with and just, you know, build a product. It's completely different than every freelance gig I've ever had, where I was just designing in Photoshop or Fireworks and then just sending it over to a developer and then never hear from them again. You know, it's a different dynamic. It's totally different. So I wasn't only looking for a paycheck every month or something like that. I was more looking for to work with a team. That's what I was looking for. Right, so. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So how have you found and what do you create with the team? What are the products? Are they sort of ad packages and stuff like that?
Well, the main buysellads.com website is, like you said earlier, the probably one of the biggest ad marketplaces out there. So there's always UI things we can do, user interface tweaks, CSS things, a new page here and there, a new interface there, you know. And so the buysellads.com website is one thing. We also have the buysellads pro application, which is, I don't like to compare it to Google, but it's sort of like DoubleClick for Publisher, the FP. It's similar to the buysellads marketplace, except people can run their own ads, run AdSense, other ad networks. It's like an ad server. Wow. So we've worked on that for, I think, a year before we launched it. Now we're working on a new product. So there's always design projects going on. So yeah, there's always design work to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
And it must be interesting doing these big projects as opposed to doing someone's you know, some blogger's website, which is a very simple thing. Well, it's not simple, but it gets simple after a while. And now you're doing these much larger applications that are used by a lot of people and with greater functionality. So it must have taught you much more about UI.
I learn something new every day, you know. Yeah. And I mean, the buy-sell-ads team, there's salespeople, there's developers, there's other designers, and it's just, there's a great chemistry between everybody. It's like, when I started buy-sell-ads, we were, I think, only 10 people. Now we're, I think, 20 or 21. So within like a year and a half, the team just went boom, you know, we just doubled the manpower, basically. Mm-hmm. So, and we have more developers now and people we can work with to build something. So yeah, it's great.
Every time I've written to you, you've always been saying how much you like the buy sell ads, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's always come through in the emails. However, being John Phillips, you've also got other things on your plate, so
of course I got this photography blog, because you know, I've been working for buy-sell ads for, well, a little over a year and a half, and I'm kind of missing that managing a blog thing on the side. So I mean, the goal with that one, with Contrastly, is not to build it and then sell it. It's just to keep it going, because it's kind of an experiment at the same time, you know, because I want to know and I want to figure out how to build a site today. You know, like I said, 5 years ago, front page on Dig and done, your website is famous, you know. Yeah. But these days, it's like, it's hard to get 1,000 visitors on a new website, you know. So it's kind of an experiment, you know. And at the same time, I can test every single Buy Sell Ads product on my own website. So that was, that's another point. So, So, but I'm saying the goal is not to sell the website, but, you know, if the price is right, never know.
So that's contrastly.com, which is for photographers and about photography, cameras and a little bit of Photoshop and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's very interesting, because I always remember that picture of you with a guitar and like a lake and a mountain in the background. You're from Montreal.
Yes.
Would English be your second language then?
It is. It is, actually. I mostly speak French at home.
Wow. Well, you that's another amazing, you know, feather to your cap, isn't it? You managed to sell, I don't know how many successful websites in English. And it's not even,
and I'm a French guy.
And you speak French.
Yep.
That is truly amazing. For somebody like me who doesn't speak another language particularly well. You're from Montreal, but you obviously get out, you obviously play guitar and you get out into the big outdoors. What are some things you do that enables you to work from home successfully? Because it can be quite difficult sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when I was freelancing, it was much harder when I was freelancing, because, you know, if there's a project that needs to be completed by Monday and it's Thursday night and, you know, you have like 2 weeks worth of stuff to do on that project and, you know, like 4 days, you pull an all-nighter and then you go to bed at 11 a.m. and then you wake up at 6. It was pretty crazy for some time, but, you know, got to do it, you know. But now that I work at Buy Sell Ads, I mean, it's more like a 9-to-5 thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I still work on in the evenings on a couple of things, but it's much more stable and it's much more stable. I sleep, I go to bed at 11, wake up at 6:37. You know, it's better for my health.
Yeah, it's good to have, you know, the time, organizing the time properly. So you have proper rest and resting your mind and resting your body and everything like that. And do you still play guitar?
I do.
Yeah.
You know that picture you mentioned with the lake? It was in Lake Louise, Western Canada. Because in 2008, I was in a band and we released an album. We did a Canadian tour. So we went from east of Canada all the way 5,000 kilometers west and then back in 1 month. So got some great pictures there. So that was one of the pictures we took at Lake Louise there. But the band split and everything, you know, happens.
Yeah.
Different opinions on the direction of the music and everything. So I think the band split in 2010 or 2011. So since then, I haven't played another band or anything, but I still play just casually at home.
I was talking to another web designer recently, and I think it's amazing how many web designers are musicians as well. There's got to be some sort of statistical analysis on this.
It's funny you mentioned that, because every Friday usually on Fridays on Campfire with Buy Sell Ads, there's a Mark who's got banjo lessons. Nathan plays the drums, you know, everybody, we're 20 people and I think everybody plays an instrument. It's insane. We did like a Buy Sell Ads Christmas party, all on Skype. There's one guy on the keyboard, another guy on the drums, and I was playing guitar and we were just jamming on Skype. with the Bytelads team. That was pretty insane.
How do you do that? That must, but there must be, there's some sort of time delay, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there was, but you know, like the sound gets into your speaker and what you hear is in sync.
Right.
Yeah. But it worked. It worked.
Oh. Did you record it?
No, I took screenshots so I can make animated GIFs, but I didn't record it.
Oh, well, John, look, you've had such an interesting career so far, and usually when I speak to someone, it's, you know, they're web designers, and that's what they've done. You've been a web designer, sort of a blogger, a website flipper, although that's probably not a correct way of saying it, but you've sold a few websites.
Yep.
and you work for an ad network and creating apps and UI and different products for advertisers. So what I'd love to ask you would be if there was something that you could say to encourage or advice for somebody, a web designer out there, maybe listening to this interview, what would it be in terms of what you've done? What do you think has been what your one secret, or have you got any advice for anyone? I never seem to ask that question in it well. I do it every time, and it just comes out. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, what worked for me might not work for somebody else. You know, it's like that with everything, you know. But I've always went with the flow. You know, if you have an idea and you're in the zone, just do it. You know, like that's what I did with Design News. And I just had no idea that that project would get 100,000 visitors a month. You know, I just why not? That's a cool idea. Let's just do it. And I did that in an evening. Next morning it was up, and the first month was already getting like 50,000 visitors a month. I don't know. It just happened, you know? So best piece of advice would be to just go with the flow. If your gut feeling is I should do this or I should do that, well, just do it. You know, sometimes you're kind of stuck doing like freelance gigs, and then once that one's done, you got another one, and then you're like a machine, and you just keep pushing designs out. And sometimes it's just great to work on your own projects. And when you're in the zone and you have an idea, just do it.
Yeah.
Like the Nike commercials. Just do it.
Yeah, but it's not quite what I think about when I watch the Nike commercials. I think it's really important in the context of what you've done. It's just if you get an idea, do it. And also, it's not as though everything, you know, we were mentioning that, you know, I've had several ideas that they've been failures, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, because you learn from that.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you get an idea, do it. And even if it's a failure, don't worry. If you get the next idea, still keep on doing them. And because you're still getting ideas and you're still doing them. And
exactly.
You know, I'm sure there's going to be lots more things, interesting things coming out from you, John.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. And I hope I get to hear about them as well. Because, I mean, half of what you told me, I didn't know. And really interesting, really interesting. So, John, where could people find you if they want to get in touch with you? I usually say this to people who actually want to, you know, obviously your own personal blog is just like your name at the moment, but there's also contrastly.com.
I think the best place would be on Twitter, honestly. Right. Well, right now, because I had I've always wanted to have a personal blog where I can write about whatever, like what's going on in my day, a great picture I shot, or what projects I'm working on. And about 2 years ago, I started that, and I went, nice. I finally have my own personal blog. That's not only about design. It could be about music. It can be about just a funny thing I saw or whatever. But then after trying to blog on that johnphillips.ca blog for about 2 years, I realized that I don't really enjoy that. You know, I because if there's no set topics and I just, you know, I get the writer's block and I just, I wrote a couple, I think, good articles on that site, but then I decided just to just put it on maintenance mode, redesign it, and probably do something else with it. Maybe just a splash page with just like contact information or something like that. Or I might just go with the flow, and if I feel like it, I'll just turn into a blog at some point. Or I don't know. I just always wanted to have like a personal blog, but like, you know, like Jeffrey Zeldman has, like Jason Santamaria, they always have nice stuff on their blogs, but it's not always about design. It's all about technology, about life and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just didn't really have the first, the time to write on it. And I don't know, just the ideas didn't, I guess I'm better at solving problems and building stuff than actually writing. So, but I'm, on the other hand, like I said earlier, I'm a French guy, so maybe writing in English doesn't really come that easily to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it doesn't come out that easily to me, and English is my first language. But cool. Yeah,
good to know.
Yeah, definitely. But it's we're actually digging in a bit. You go with the flow, and yet you know when to call a halt on something, and and you know this isn't working. I'm going to move on to something else now. So that's there's another lesson there. So anyway, you're saying you are John Phillips on Twitter, I believe.
It's actually Joe Phillips.
Joe Phillips.
There's no N, because it's Joe Phillips.
J-O-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S.
Because John Phillips wasn't available. So
I guess so. I never even noticed, and I follow you, so it doesn't matter, does it? So anyway, I'll put all these sites on the blog post of this video interview and podcast, so if people can come and hook up with you there. But John, it's been really a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm so pleased to have met you after all this time.
Pleasure's all mine.
John Phillips there. That was absolutely amazing. Thank you, John, so much for that. You can find John, if you like, on Twitter with the Twitter handle Joe Phillips, J-O-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. Not John Phillips, because that wasn't available. I'm sure that's not the last we've heard of John. I'm sure he's going to come up with some great projects and great ideas in the future. And he's certainly one leading light in the design scene that I will keep my eyes on very carefully in the future. So, just one more announcement again, and that is if you go to robcubbon.com/iTunes, it will take you to the iTunes listing of the podcast where you can subscribe or leave a review. But I hope you have a great week. I hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are. This is Rob from robcubbon.com signing off. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.